freedom is precisely what must be destroyed if this is to be turned into a fundamentally different country to suit Obama's vision of the country and of himself.
Look, folks, there comes a time when it's time to stop fiddling while America burns.
That's right. Woo!
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
And every time they mess with it, they make it worse.
What they are trying to do is create an America very unlike the America that has existed for centuries.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
This is KLZ, Freedom 560, with your host, Ken Clark.
Welcome back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. So something else happened today. Something else besides the scandal-ridden Colorado GOP. And what was that? Well, all right. Again, we go back to this situation where we have the Republican Party trying to pass fast track. And first, let me start it off this way, because this was done through cloak and dagger, done through maneuvering, and that's how they were able to get it through the House of Representatives. If you remember, a little over a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the Fast Track Trade Authority and the TPP were all but dead. And I warned you at that time, if you will recall, not to take that for granted, because it would probably come back. And I was right. It, in fact, has come back, and it has come back in a very, very big way. And so I want to start off by, before I go into, well, no, let me do the details of that now. So what happened was Paul Ryan, who is bought and paid for by the people that are going to be profiting from this, and it is the major corporations, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. Paul Ryan, he started trying to figure out a way that he was going to finagle this through. And so he got to looking at Nancy Pelosi's playbook and thought, okay, I can do that. I'm going to separate these two issues. I'm going to do this one, then I'm going to do that one. So I'm going to take a bill that has already passed. I'm going to remove the language of that bill, input the language of the Fast Track Trade Authority, the TAA, and I'm going to get that passed. So he did. Then it went over to the Senate. And it looks like that's going to, that looks like that has already passed today. So here's the thing. We have been pretty critical of some folks that have been supportive of this. And I comes to find out, Ted Cruz, who in the original version in the Senate, he had supported it. He was told a bunch of lies by leadership and got some verbal assurances that they would kill the Export-Import Bank as a part of this agreement, which is why he supported it. Now, the Export-Import Bank, if you are unaware, is a slush fund used by Congress to pay off big business. That's how they get a bunch of incentives. And I'm not going to go into detail about the Import-Export Bank, except to say this. It is a slush fund that Congress uses to pay back their big donors. Okay, that's all it is. So big business loves it because they can get taxpayer subsidies for doing business overseas. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail of that. You're just going to have to do your own research on that. But that's what Ted Cruz was basing that on. So earlier today, and this broke this morning via Breitbart, Ted Cruz, quote, "Obama trade enmeshed in corrupt backroom dealings." Well, yeah, it is. And so he reversed himself on it based on the fact that he was lied to. And I got to tell you, not many politicians would be willing to do that. So I want a huge hat tip to Ted Cruz right now, a huge kudos to him for looking at this whole situation, taking a step back, evaluating it again, and saying, you know what, this is wrong. That's what he's done. I've had conversations with countless members of the House and the Senate in Colorado on issues. And I've had conversations going, look, what are you doing with this? Explain why you're doing XYZ bill. What is the point of this bill? And they'll explain it to me. And then you kind of go, well, all right, but number one, is that really the proper role of government? Number two, are we trying to, quote, in a certain case that I'm thinking of, are we trying to legislate our morality? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? And then you go back and forth and back and forth and have the dialogue. And sometimes I'll be convinced that they're right. Other times they'll be convinced that I'm right. Okay. And, you know, you just you move on from there and go, okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I understand why you're doing what you're doing. And these are a lot. I have these conversations almost on a daily basis with people, especially when it comes to policy. During the session, while our assembly is in session, these conversations happen 2-3 times a day. All right. So I'm very, very accustomed to them. So to take a look at Ted Cruz and that when he has decided to reverse a position on something as that is as big a deal as the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the Fast Track Trade Authority for President Obama, because let's face it, nobody trusts Obama. And he says this, the American people do not trust President Obama, and they do not trust Republican leadership in Congress. And the reason is simple. For far too long, politicians in Washington have not told the truth. He's absolutely right. Ted Cruz himself took a position and has now reversed it. He came down on the proper side of this issue. It is a huge deal for a politician to reverse themselves, especially on something as important as this. But the fact that he was able to do it, in my mind, shows a massive amount of character. This is huge. We want our leaders, once they take a position, to say, you know what? Maybe I didn't think this through all the way. Maybe I was basing my original position on a bunch of lies. We saw our own Randy Baumgartner, Senator Baumgartner, who is in leadership, get hustled just that same way. In 2013, or excuse me, maybe it was 2014, he was made a lot of promises by Democrats on certain bills. And then when the bills that, and so he went, wow, yeah, if that's the way this looks, I'm going to support your bill. Well, he said, yeah, I'll help you support your bill. Then when he got the bill, he realized, yeah, maybe things weren't the way they were supposed to be. But he had given his word to certain people so he wouldn't change his position. That cost him a lot. His principles of liberty scores went down, and I've had long conversations with him on it. And I finally looked at him and said, well, okay, Senator Baumgartner, they lied to you. And somehow you think that you're keeping your word when you're keeping your stance based on lies that you were told. How does that make sense? Well, it didn't make sense, and I think he understood that. But because he is a man of integrity, because he is a man of his word, he didn't want to go back on his own word. That happens a lot. That happens a lot. A lot of times when some XYZ lobbyist, I mean, I remember it happening to Chris Hulbert. A lobbyist got a hold of him on a bill, which was the SIP plan, the state implementation plan, and convinced him this was all about the 10th Amendment and this was all about states' rights. And unfortunately, because you don't always know, you don't always know. And Chris knew immediately that Senator Hulbert knew immediately that he was on the wrong side of that after the vote. Because Jason had taken him to the woodshed, Jason Worley, who I used to host Grassroots Radio Colorado with. And Chris knew that he had made a mistake, and he manned up and he owned it. He owned it. He didn't make excuses. He owned it. Randy Baumgartner, same thing. He owned it. He didn't make excuses. Right now, Ted Cruz, he's owning it. He's not making excuses. He's saying, you know what? I think I was wrong on that. I'm going to reverse my position. That takes a lot of guts. That is a man of huge character. I am extremely pleased to see that Ted Cruz has come out and done this, that he's on the right side. Because we've had the benefit of Krista Huff. We've had the benefit of her coming out and saying over and over and over again, because she is very much in the know on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we've had that benefit. So we've known from the beginning that this was a bad move. Anybody that would give President Obama any additional power is insane. Absolutely insane. But I think Senator Cruz believed that this was going to be the end to the Export-Import Bank. Turns out that's not true. He was getting a bunch of smoke blown up his skirt, so to speak, from Mitch McConnell and the leadership in the U.S. Senate. And I think that's the only way you can put that. And now he's on the right side of that. So, man, I'll tell you what, hat tip to Senator Cruz. I think this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. And I think the fact that he did that shows a lot of character. I'll come back. When I come back after the break, I will take your calls. But I also want to go into detail about what happened today in the Senate, because it's not pretty. And it's not going to do any American any good. And I am back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. If you'd like to chime in on whatever it is you want to talk about today, I'm talking about now the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Fast Track Trade Authority. That number is 303-477-5600. Also, in the first hour, we talked ad nauseum about the controversy surrounding the Colorado GOP. But we do have Greg, who has, I guess he doesn't agree with me on some points on as far as this is concerned. Greg, welcome to Freedom 560.
Well, you know, Ken, it's unfair to say I don't agree with you, because I'm not sure where you would stand. You may not have made up your mind yet as to whether you'd vote for Ted Cruz or not. I know you were pretty enthusiastic about him all along before this latest stance he's taken.
Yeah, that is very accurate, and I think you summed it up quite well. I was very enthusiastic about him when he first announced. Okay, I was also very disappointed when he voted the first time for the Fast Track Trade Authority. I didn't know until just today that he had been made promises by leadership that they would kill the Export-Import Bank, and that turned out to be a lie. And so he's come out today, and this is according to Breitbart, and he's on the right side now. Greg?
Well, honestly, I think if they were to kill the Export-Import Bank, which seems like the perfect vehicle or venue for or vehicle to deliver cash in a cronyism way, they would have other provisions in this TPP, which we can't read, by the way. And that's one reason why I'm disappointed in Ted Cruz, because that should be the immediate disqualifier in the minds of any good legislator. They would have been able to allow many other slush funds that would work just like the Import-Export Bank on an ad hoc basis with these agreements. I mean, after all, it was fairly open-ended, was one thing that Mr. Sessions allowed us to hear.
Well, let me ask you this. So you're still not in a forgiving mood when it comes to Senator Ted Cruz.
Well, here's why. It's a really classy field. And now I haven't, you know, two things. I haven't quite gotten around to deleting Ted and Heidi Cruz's emails at the bottom of the page.
To reading their emails at the bottom of the page?
Well, at the bottom of the page, it's got the delete area. You know, all the fundraising emails that are coming from Ted
and
Heidi.
Yeah, I
know. I hadn't quite gotten around to that, so I'll leave that intact. But aside from that, I also haven't completed full circle and went to find out what Carly Fiorina's position is on this, because I'm sure she's made some statements. She's kind of unafraid to make statements on the issue of the day, and she hasn't missed that very often. So my feeling is she probably didn't support it. Of course, she's got less at stake in a way.
Well, and let's face it, she is an outsider big time. I mean, she's not what I would consider a top tier candidate at this point. But I got to tell you, I like what she has to say as well. I mean, she takes on Hillary Clinton toe to toe every chance she gets. And I really like that. And
well, not only that, she's not afraid to stake out positions that could be torn down if they weren't pretty good, like talking about depriving government of not only money, but of personnel. And saying that she would just simply change the procedure to replace the attrition rate among federal government personnel, along with the funding cuts, and needing both of those to really effectively reduce the size of government. To me, that's quite a statement to come out with when I don't hear the rest of the candidates coming out with specifics besides conservative platitudes.
Well, and you're right about that. You're right about that. Greg, thank you for calling into Freedom 560. I really appreciate your perspective. But no, I haven't endorsed a candidate yet. I'm actually really excited about a lot of them. And Greg, if you're still listening, I'm excited about Fiorina. I think she's dynamic. That's fun. I'm excited about Donald Trump, because I think that's going to add a lot of flavor to this presidential election. And let's face it, this guy doesn't need anybody else's money. He can't be bought. He's worth $8.7 billion. Okay. And, you know, so I'm excited about that. I think that this guy understands international business better than any other candidate in the arena right now. You know, I like his ideas on the tax code. I think that is hugely important. And I just think it's gonna be fun. Do I think that this is going to turn into another Ross Perot type of situation in the 2016 presidential race? No, I don't. I don't think Donald Trump is anything like Ross Perot. And if you remember correctly, this happened during the Bush 41 administration. Ross Perot decided that he was going to run against Bush 41, and he did, and he effectively got Bill Clinton elected because of that. But you have to understand, now, Ross Perot was worth about $3 billion. Now, Larry, I can do a really good Ross Perot impression, but I'm not going to. So if you remember going back to that time, Ross Perot was very, very upset with Bush 41 because Ross Perot made his billions by his company did business with the federal government. He had a lot of federal government contracts. Bush 41 cut a lot of those contracts. Ross Perot was angry. Ross Perot decided it was time to take out Bush 41. So he ran for president himself. Now, Larry, don't worry about me. It's only going to cost me $1 billion, but don't worry about me. I got $2 billion more at home. That's what he used to say. Okay, he did. I mean, you say that over and over again. And Terrence is about to fall off of his chair. But he used to say that. Well, then you have to realize, how did he make his money? He made it off government contracts. He was another rent seeker who, just like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, just like all these people that are pushing the TPP and the Fast Track Trade Authority, they're a bunch of rent seekers that make their living off of the government or because of government subsidies, which is what the Export-Import Bank is all about, or government exclusivity. I mean, government subsidies when it comes to wind farms and solar panels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these fat cats rely on the federal government to clear the way for them to make money and shut out their competition. Yesterday I was talking, and we see it here in Colorado too. Yesterday I went off talking about the Uber, how they're no longer going to be allowing people to carry guns inside Uber. Okay? And I remember fighting or helping the senators and the members of the House of Representatives fight so hard to pass the legislation that made it legal for Uber to exist in Colorado. Why? Because the taxi cab companies in Colorado had such a stranglehold on the Department of Transportation that nobody could get a license to open up a new cab company. Why? Protectionism. They didn't want competition, so they used the government to keep their competitors out. We see that in Denver. We see it in the state of Colorado. We see it in every state. We see it on a federal level as well. Okay? So at the end of the day, you simply have to ask yourself one question. Who stands to make a ton of money off of the TPP? Now, Greg was right. He brought up something very, very important. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, that entire agreement is kept under lock and key in the basement of the Capitol. Okay, somewhere in D.C. I don't know where it is, but it's kept under lock and key. You have to go in and sign into the log. You cannot take a notepad. You can't take your cell phone, and you cannot take notes when you go read this thing. My understanding is five, maybe more by now have actually read it. Senator Jeff Sessions is one of those who has read it, but you're not allowed to talk about it either. Senator Jeff Sessions is breaking that rule, and he is talking about it, but it's so bad that not only is the log under lock and key, so nobody can know who's been in there to read it and who hasn't, but you can't take notes, and if you do disclose the contents of it, you can be brought up on charges if you're a sitting member of the House or the Senate. I mean, is this insane or what? They want this thing under such tight lock and key, such tight controls, that the members of the House and the Senate themselves can be brought up on charges if they talk about what's going on. Okay? Well, today, the Senate, under the tutelage, under the direction, under the leadership of Mitch McConnell, they passed the Fast Track Trade Authority clearing the way for Obama to sell out the United States, or sell out what's left of the United States of America. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I just looked at him and I said, you know, there are times when it's really, really hard to get up in the morning and continue this fight. And he looked at me and said, you must be tired. Well, yeah, I get tired. I get tired a lot. Okay, but I continue the fight because I do believe in it, and this country's worth it. This country is worth it. All of us need to continue this battle. All of us need to continue this fight. We do, no matter what. No matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. Never, ever back down from your principles. Otherwise, you get things like what we're seeing here today. You get things like the Republicans. The Republicans are the ones selling out the United States of America. They're the ones giving Obama yet another huge cannon to fire at the heart and soul of this great country. And he's going to use it. Make no mistake, he will use it. And none of us are going to be better off as a result. None of us are. Wall Street might be. The people that are going to be making a lot of money might be. The very people that these guys profess to hate, while they, you know, they hate them in one hand and take their money in the other hand, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, it's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And today we got sold out yet again. This is Freedom 560. I'm your host, Ken Clark. I am talking about the sellout of the Republicans on the Fast Track Trade Authority, and that is basically taking place as we speak. It's already happened. I have Jan who wants to chime in on this issue. Jan, welcome to Freedom 560.
According to GoodfellowLLC.com, I understand that today was the vote on cloture, which meant that they would close the debate, and that we didn't want that. We wanted it to continue, the debate to continue. But what happens is that doesn't pass the TPA. Tomorrow is the vote that's taken. So we still can get to and should really go to congressmerge.com. So that's Congress spelled with C-O-N-G-R-E-S-S, and then Merge, which is spelled M-E-R-G-E.com. Click on the toolbar where it says Congress right at the top, and then you'll get a map of the United States. Click on many of the states that are in our area, but I don't think it's worth calling our Colorado senators. But, call North Dakota, South Dakota, all the way down, you know, Minnesota, Iowa, all the way down, because we still can call. Their offices are open until about 6 o'clock tonight. So that's 4 o'clock our time. So we've got till 4 to call them, and then we can call them first thing in the morning. But it's especially there are one-third of the senators that will be up for re-election in a year, in 2016, November. And we want to say, you vote for the TPA, and we will primary you.
You know, Jan, you're absolutely right, and you're right about pretty much everything you've said. And this is according to Breitbart: breaking Senate ends debate over trade promotion authority sets up fast track trade vote for Obama. That will happen tomorrow. And there was speculation earlier today that vote could take place as early as today, Jan. Well, she's not on the air with me anymore, but she's right. They did vote for cloture. But I got to tell you this, McConnell's not going to allow a vote of cloture to happen. And that is the end of the debate. That's when it goes to the full floor, unless he's certain that they have the votes to pass the Fast Track Trade Authority. Okay, they keep it in the debate phase until they've twisted enough arms, until they've done enough backroom wrangling, made enough deals. I mean, remember Obamacare, remember the Louisiana Purchase, remember what happened in Nebraska, and remember all that stuff. Don't forget. Okay, because that's how business is done in Washington. A lot of these guys, like Michael Bennett, he got, what was it, $56,000 in campaign contributions to flip his vote. So all you union members, your teachers' unions, whatever, all you union members, you did not bid high enough for Michael Bennett's vote. Okay, you just didn't. Sorry, you didn't. You had the opportunity, you blew it. And frankly, I'm disappointed that you did. Okay, I wish you would have outbid the other ones. But knowing what I know about who the players are, chances are that bidding would have gone up and up and up and up and up. So I guess the big loser here is Michael Bennett himself. He sold his vote for $53,000, he could have gotten much, much more. These people have got very deep pockets. I bet he could have gotten that up to $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 if he'd have just tried. But he didn't even try. What an idiot. I mean, if you're going to sell your soul, at least get top dollar. I mean, come on.
All he had to do was hold out. I mean, we watch NFL players, we watch baseball players. I mean, just take a page out of an athlete's book and just wait. They'll give you more money. Okay, what do you need? Well, that's not enough. So stalemate them. They'll be back a couple weeks later. All right, is this enough? I'm just saying, if you're in the business of selling your soul, I mean vote, then that's what you do.
That is what you do, and that's just good negotiating skills, right? I mean, Terrence, that's just good negotiating skills. So this guy's a senator, and he can't even negotiate this?
I mean, or maybe that was maybe that's what he negotiated too.
God,
let's not assume that they came in the door with the check and that was their starting price.
You know, there is that. Maybe they started off at 50 cents because that's all this guy's worth anyway.
I mean, wow. Okay.
Okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. They started at a dollar.
Let's say $1,000.
Okay, we'll say $1,000. But that's far more than this guy's worth.
They topped out at $53,000. So I mean,
And if I find out that they started at $1,000 and ended at $53,000, then at least I'm going to be able to say, yeah, this guy negotiated well. He played that well. But when you take a look at the total dollar amount it took to flip the Democrats that flipped, it was $1.1 million.
Oh, we know he was a cheap date.
I wonder if they bought him any whiskey or candy or just bought him. I mean, evidently he's for sale, just like, God, am I really going to go down that path? Yeah, I don't think so. Everything's for sale though, right, Terrence? I'll just leave it at that. You can infer what I mean, because, of course, he's a politician. What's the difference? I mean, they're the two oldest professions on the planet, right? So, yeah, let me go back to this Breitbart article. Wow. Keep that dump button close. So the cloture vote ended further debate, setting up the final TPA vote that will be in the Senate Wednesday. So Jan was right. This will supposedly be in the Senate tomorrow. Okay, there was some speculation earlier today, and I was listening to it on Fox News while I was getting ready to come down to the studio. But yeah, I mean, that cloture thing, that ends the debate. They keep it in that state of limbo, if you will, until they know that they have the votes to pass it. So they brought it up for a vote. That final vote was 60 to 37. Okay, 60 to 37. So we've got three people that weren't in the vote. The 37 votes against it, I can only assume were Republicans, but Cory Gardner was not among them. And, you know, let me be fair. There are probably more Democrats in that 37 vote against than there were Republicans. Because it really, really pains me to admit this, but it's true. I mean, it's true. The Democrats have been the ones that have been fighting this thing. Now, in Michael Bennett's case, we know that he was holding out for a payday. Okay, and that I've got the posts on my Facebook page. We know that to be true. We know that to be the case. So, you know, no matter how you cut it, that's where it comes down with Michael Bennett. Now, I don't have a list of who voted where on that closure vote, but you're wasting your time calling Cory Gardner. You're wasting your time calling Michael Bennett. They're bought and paid for. We already know that. But there might be some others that we can. And you know what? I'm not going to say that. In fact, I'm going to go just the opposite direction. It is never a waste of time to call your senator, the person that represents the state of Colorado, and tell them what you think. That is never a waste of time. I'm going to bite my tongue for even having said that. It is never a waste of time. Call Corey. Call Michael Bennett. Let them know how you feel about this TPA, this TPP thing that's going to be happening tomorrow. Implore them to put the best interest of the United States of America first and vote against this. Because it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you are a citizen of these United States, this is a bad deal for you. End of story. It is. This is a very, very bad deal. So we want to make sure that we do everything we can, leave no stone unturned, and we try to get this thing dead. So this thing will probably hit tomorrow. But Mitch McConnell, in all of his infinite wisdom, he has decided that he wants to throw down, and they've gotten this thing done. And, you know, that's where we are. And it's still, I cannot tell you how much it kills me that this is being done to us by Republicans. Now, the blogosphere and the internet is all over the place, okay? Earlier today, thehill.com had a headline that Obama was scrambling for votes on fast-track authority. Why? Because there were still some Democrat holdouts, okay? President Obama scrambled for votes on Monday as Democrats' support trickled in for his trade agenda despite strong pressure from unions. Well, that tells you something. That tells you something. The unions do not control the Democrats quite as bad as we thought they did. They do not control it quite as bad as we thought that they did. I just got a text from somebody who just sent me the roll call vote. Okay, so here's what we got. And this was U.S. Senate roll call votes, 114th Congress, first session vote summary. That was today, vote number 218. Okay, these are representatives. I was looking more for the House. Let's see if it's got, or excuse me, the Senate. Okay, yeah, here we go. Grouped by home state, Alabama. Sessions was against it. Shelby was for it. Let me go to Colorado. Bennett was a yes. Gardner was a yes. Oh boy, I am so happy that we beat Mark Udall and Bennett voted for it. Yeah. Is anybody surprised? I want to see what Wyoming did. I'm from Wyoming. Yeah, Barrasso voted for it. So did Mike Enzi. What a disappointment. You would think Wyoming could come up with a conservative. It's Wyoming, for crying out loud. I mean, really? Where'd we end up in Texas? Cornyn, yes. Cruz, nay. Thank you, Ted Cruz, for voting against this. I mean, unbelievable. South Dakota, let's see, Corker was not voting. I want to just look for the nays. Oregon, Merkley, Democrat, no. Pennsylvania, Casey, Democrat, no. Rhode Island, Reed, Democrat, no. Also, White House, Democrat, no. Oh, this is interesting. In Pennsylvania, Casey, a Democrat, voted no. Toomey, Republican, voted yeah. Is this just upside down? I'm really, really having a hard time making heads or tails of this whole mess. I'm really having a hard time making heads or tails of this. This is just incredible. This is just incredible. Man, Republicans, yeah, God. Maybe it's time to burn my Republican bra. Maybe it's time to do that. I don't know. I can pull a Jane Fonda and burn my Republican bra. Maybe it's a Bruce Jenner. Or what's his name? Catelyn? I don't know what it is. You know, the whole world is mixed up. I don't even know where to go right now. This is insane. All right, I'll be back with more right after this. Do not go away. Welcome back. Final segment of the afternoon. This is Ken Clark. I'm your host. This is Freedom 560, 303-477-5600. I wanted to go through this list of senators who voted on cloture today because I'm reading this and I'm getting dismayed, upset, and just flabbergasted all at the same time because you're not going to believe this, okay? Let's go through the nays, okay? Alabama voted against it. Both Sessions and Shelby voted against it. That's not a big surprise. Okay, so you go down, and then you've got California. California, I'm on the same side as Barbara Boxer. I mean, I can't believe it. Now, Feinstein, of course, voted for it. Dianne Feinstein is, you know, whatever. But Barbara Boxer? I mean, Barbara Boxer, this woman... I don't even know what to say about Barbara Boxer, but usually she's coming on down on the side of the unions and they're all that. And I can't believe I'm on the same side as her. But you know what? She voted against it, so good for her. All right, let's keep going down on that. Connecticut, I already talked about. Blumenthal was a no. Democrat, no. Murphy, Democrat, no. Okay. Then you go down to Hawaii. You've got Hirono. Democrat, no. Okay. Then you have to go down to also Shiats, I think Shots is how you pronounce that. Republican. No. Okay. Both from Hawaii. Then you've got Illinois. Dick Durbin voted against it. Democrat Illinois. Oh, and the Republican Kirk voted for it. Terrence, I got nothing, man. I mean, I really got nothing. I can keep going through here, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, all the Democrats are voting against it. There are a couple Republicans, but I mean, I don't know.
We're learning. We're getting a bird's eye view that money absolutely rules here, because that's the only interest in this is making money for certain businesses and corporations, and the lobbyists have you down, have the politicians down. They're like, we need your vote on this.
You know, they really do. And we have not put enough pressure on Washington, D.C. Now, you've heard me say this before, Terrence, that politicians only respond to two things. And one of them is pleasure. The other one is pain. I'm not in the pleasure business. Okay. I am in the pain delivering business. But evidently, we haven't done our jobs, because these guys think they can do this and get away with it. And, you know, we killed cap and trade back in 2010. Now, we weren't able to kill Obamacare, but we were able to kill cap and trade. And there was a nationwide outcry. Where is it now? I mean, am I missing something? But I'm not hearing it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can continue to go through this, but at the end of the day, the long and short of it is that we have Democrats more to thank than Republicans. We have Republicans to thank for this happening. Okay. Democrats have been the ones that are trying to get that done. So here's you go. Labor groups led by the AFL-CIO are furiously lobbying Democrats opposed to fast track trade authority. Why are they not having any success? Is it because this thing has gone so far? Washington, D.C. is so far bought and sold by international interests. I can only assume that these are international interests, because if you are a United States-based company and doing business only in the United States, that's where it's going to land. Now, some interesting things have happened also. We know that John Boehner pushed this thing through the House of Representatives, and you know that he and Paul Ryan used some very, what I would consider, dishonest, illegal. Well, they're not illegal, obviously, but they got it done. But these are very dishonest, unethical tactics in order to get this thing done. Do you remember when 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about this and they were able to get it killed, and there were a bunch of Republicans that talked about it or that voted against it? Do you remember that? Well, there has been a bunch of, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Retaliation against those Republicans who voted against this thing and stood for principle. John Boehner is taking these people and pulling them off their committee assignments.
Well, that's how the Republican Party works. If you don't go with what the machine wants, they'll bury you.
Oh, yeah. Mark Meadows is under huge fire in the House of Representatives right now because he wouldn't toe the party line, even when the party line's wrong.
Well, I mean, That's where I've been telling you all this time, is like, you may be a good guy, but once you get to Washington or close to Washington, your morals are going to be compromised, if not totally changed and thrown out of the window.
Yeah. And if you go against the leadership in Washington, D.C., and I would dare say that this holds true for both parties.
Oh, exactly. It's a machine. It's one big machine.
Yeah. I don't think it matters what party you're in. If you buck the system, if you buck the leadership, they're going to buck you off your horse.
Exactly.
So this comes from the Washington Examiner. This was posted earlier today, 5 a.m., which probably means 7 a.m., yeah, about 3 a.m. our time. Oversight Chairman Jason Chaffetz, Republican Utah left, and Mark Meadows right. Meadows told the Washington Examiner the move to strip him of his subcommittee chairmanship was made by Chaffetz, but came at the direction of John Boehner, Republican Ohio. So they're removing this guy from the chairmanship of his subcommittee. Why? Because he wouldn't toe the line and vote with leadership on this sellout of the United States. This is the way the game is played. Okay, House conservatives lash out at Boehner's culture of punishment. That is what is happening down there. There is that, and we've known that. This is how Boehner operates. I mean, he has threatened our own. If you don't vote for me for leadership, by God, I'm not going to put you on any committee. I'm not going to do any of that. That's how the game is played.
But at what point in time do you stop playing the game and say, fine, then don't put me on the committee. But without our votes, you can't be in a position to put me anywhere. Stop voting the man back in there if you know he's playing shady, underhanded tactics.
Well, and that's what we begged them to do before all this happened. We begged them to vote against John Boehner, and there were only a few that would.
Well, and see, that's how powerful they are now. Enough people have gotten smacked on the hand for trying to go against the grain that everybody's now in line.
Yeah, I mean, there's an article in WorldNet Daily today, GOP civil war, intense crackdown on conservatives. This is what the mafia does. This is a political mafia on Capitol Hill. What are they talking about? John Boehner. That's exactly what they're talking about. These are strong arm mafioso type techniques. If you don't do what I want, I'm going to take something for you. That is true extortion. Okay, that is the pure definition of extortion.
But it's happening in Washington, so it's just under the label politics.
Well, and I remember because Ken Buck voted for John Boehner. Now, Ken is a solid conservative. I mean, it's not very often that I disagree with him. He voted against this. He was on the right side of this issue. He was on the correct side of this issue. But it all goes back to John Boehner being in leadership, Mitch McConnell being in leadership. Mitch McConnell swore to take on the Tea Parties and destroy them. Remember that? I mean, these are the guys that are, you know, I mean, and let me ask you this question, Terrence. What do you think the difference between the Republicans in D.C., and I'm talking leadership specifically, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is?
On paper, you would like to believe that the Democrats want to help the American citizen to some degree. To what degree, I do not know. But I do know that the way this has played out with the voting, that at least there's a handful of Democrats out there who actually care about the American citizen. With the Republicans, you're starting to just believe that they're money-hungry villains. Like, they don't want to be painted as.
Well, but you made a comment that there's a handful of Democrats that you want to believe do care about the American citizen. The truth can be said for the Republicans as well, because you do have the Mike Lees. You do have the Ted Cruzes. You do have some of those folks that truly stand on principle. So what I'm talking about are, let's just name them, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, and John Boehner. What's the difference between those guys? I don't see a difference. I don't see any difference whatsoever. I think they're all in the same boat. I think they're out for themselves. I think they are, you know, they're just trying to raise campaign cash for the next election. And that is all this is about. And then once they get election, they make sure to grease the skids for the people that financed them to get them into office. And at the end of the day, we need to burn the system down. We have got to burn the system down. There's only one way to do that in my mind, and that's to starve the beast. How do we do that? There are several ways we can do that. Article 5 is a good solution to that. A tax revolt is a good solution to that. But at the end of the day, we're not going to stop the corruption in Washington, D.C. until we actually force them to stop. I mean, that is the only solution. We've got to burn down the system.
I totally agree with you, but how? Where do we start? Because it seems like they have us beat on all fronts. I mean, we have the numbers, but they have the money.
Well, but eventually this thing's going to break. I mean, eventually something is going to happen. This cannot sustain itself forever. I mean, you don't have this kind of debt and this kind of spending and just expect it to last in perpetuity.
But when it breaks, who takes over?
Well, therein lies the question. And that's something that we need to be very, very much prepared for. And that's anybody's guess. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are working very hard on this. We're starting to see some movement. And we are starting to see some movement. I was very disappointed at the outcome of this particular situation, because it just proves that, you know, they're going to do what they want. And they're going to throw us our bone and make us believe that we are making a difference some way, somehow.
And they're doing us the favor.
Yeah, right. So we get our hollow victories. Well, I'm done with hollow victories. Thank you for joining me today on Freedom 560. I will be back tomorrow. Stay tuned. Dan Maurer is going to be filling in for Rush to Reason. And tonight on Grassroots Radio Colorado, I'm sure there'll be some updates on this GOP thing. So you're not going to want to miss that. Talk to you then.